Livewire with Jason Moyle.
Hello, I'm Jason and welcome to Livewire. On the show today, my guest was an original member of the 60s hit recording group Love Affair, and today we are having a chat about his new band. Hello to Mick Jackson.
Hi there. Hi, Jason. Thanks for getting in touch.
That's okay. Right. So we did mention, obviously, Love Affair. That's where you started. And that was way back in, I believe, 1968 is when you had your big hit. When did the band start itself, though?
Well, we got together in the autumn of 66. I was actually playing in local northern bands because I come from the north of England. And I did a Dick Whittington and travelled down to London, thinking, probably rightly at the time, that if I was going to make it, it would have to be by being based in London. I went to an audition and met up with some of the other guys who became original members of what was to become Love Affair. The band at the time was called The Soul Survivors. But there's another band, an American band, I think we discovered, called The Soul Survivors. So we changed the name to Love Affair. We got together in autumn of 66 and we started gigging, traveling up and down the M1 motorway and doing gigs all around London. And it was in 67 that we had our first record, a record called She Smiles Sweetly, which didn't do very much. Nothing wrong with the song. It was a very good song, actually, written by Jagger and Richards. But you know, just one of those things. Luck wasn't on our side on that occasion. And then we found this song called Everlasting Love, and we began rehearsing that originally with Muff Winwood, who was the bass player in Spencer Davis Group. And he loved the song, and he said he would like to be the producer. And at the time, we were signed to Decca Records, and we played our demos of Everlasting Love to the A&R people at Decca, and they said they didn't like it. So our management said, well, we really believe in it. We really want to do it. Will you please release the boys from their contract? Which, since we hadn't done much with our first record, they were quite happy to do that. And then we were visited by a guy called Mike Smith, who was an A&R man producer for CBS Records. And we, by that time, we'd got ourselves a residency at the Marquee Club in London, and he came to watch us play live and met with our management and had heard our demo of Everlasting Love and said, yeah, got to do it, and we got to do it in a hurry. So we did.
Amazing. It's quite extraordinary that one record company thought it wouldn't be a hit, and the other one thought it's a smash hit. And CBS were absolutely right, because it was a smash hit both sides of the Atlantic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's, I guess, just one of those things. I mean, I think it shows that there's a lot of luck and timing and who you know, not what you know. You know, whatever your enterprise is, you know, whether it's music or business or sport. And it's just one of those things. I mean, because famously, I think Decca Records had turned down the Beatles. So it's, you know, I say it's just a question of timing and luck, I think, really.
Okay, and of course, Everlasting Love as gets played all the time, and it gets also a lot of film soundtracks as well. It's been on Bridget Jones, The Edge of Reason, and recently on the hit film Belfast as well.
Yes, I mean, that was fantastic. Again, just, you know, look, nothing to do with us. Well, not directly. In the late 60s, Love Affair were probably one of, maybe the most popular band in Ireland. Of course, and that's where Sir Kenneth Branagh grew up. And we used to tour the whole of Ireland extensively. And the audiences were, shall we say, appreciative, to say the least. Wild probably would be a more accurate description. And I'm sure that Everlasting Love probably figured in the years that, you know, when he was a youth and he was growing up, and it probably held special memories for him. So as luck would have it, a few decades later, He chose that to be the standout piece of music for the film Belfast.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it was performed in the film, I think, by Jamie Duran as well, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Moving forward to 2022, and you formed your own band with another member of Love Affair as well, Morris Bacon, Mo Bacon. And
that's right.
So tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Well, in just going back a bit to give us some background, in 1971, my now wife, Patricia, and I, who had been boyfriend and girlfriend for many years, going back to our school days, decided we were going to get married, and I decided I was going to leave the music business, that would be the best thing for us as a newly married couple. And I got myself a proper job, or jobs, and ended up building up a successful group of companies. But my heart was always, belonged to music, if you like, and that group of companies, and found myself kind of kicking my heels and thinking, well, you know, what now? Because there was an exclusion clause in my commercial contract that said, you know, thou shalt not do anything. you won't speak to anybody. But it didn't include music. And so I got involved in music again with a guy called Dave Johnson, who lives in the same small town in the north of England as we do. And we started just messing about in the studio and arranging and writing songs. And we decided to make a record of Sunlight Dreams, which was a song that I originally wrote, would you believe, back in 1969.
Okay.
And it never got onto an album or a B-side or an A-side, probably because, you know, we had sufficient material at the time. But I sort of dug this song up and started rearranging it. And Dave virtually recomposed it with me. And he's done some fantastic guitar work on it, which you'll hear in the opening riffs. And I then thought, I'm not happy. It doesn't, you know, quite click. There's something missing. And I realized what was missing was Mo. Because in a band, when you play together for years and years and years, it kind of becomes like a sixth sense, an intuitive thing. You just know what the other guys are going to do. And it everybody fits in. And I came to the conclusion that what was missing was in the drumming. So I asked Mo if he would come and do the drums on the track, which he did. So the three of us got together in the studio and redid it and ended up with what we were happy with as a finished product. Decided that we wanted to put it out. You know, we were happy with what we got, but we didn't want to just leave it so nobody else in the world ever heard it. So we got in touch with a guy who runs a company called Dave, who runs a company called Radio Pluggers, and he said he would help us get it out there with people like yourself. And that's what happened a few weeks ago. And fingers crossed, here we are.
Yeah, and the track is available through Ditto Music. I assume it's available on all different platforms, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Brilliant. So what's the plan after this then? Because obviously that's your brand new single. Are you going to be releasing more material? Are you going to take it out on the road, the band? Or what's your plan?
Right, okay. A lot of questions there. I'll do my best.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. No, that isn't the end. We will continue writing and we'll continue recording. And if only we and our family listen to what we produce, then if we and they are happy with it, then that could be enough. But it will be great to do this in a wider, bigger way. And Dave and Mo and myself have discussed this. We're all actually of the same mind, which is we don't envisage the Mick Jackson band going out and touring and playing 5, 6, 7 nights a week. I don't know if we'd have the stamina for it nowadays. But I guess if we had a magic wand or a fairy godmother, we'd say it would be nice if this track could be in some way a success. You know, even in fact, just digressing for a moment, I was down in London with Mo when the news broke for us that Everlasting Love was back in the charts, and we couldn't believe it and had a little celebration. So it would be great if Sunlight Dreams got into the lower part, the lower echelons of the charts. And what we would do from that then is we'd probably do maybe a gig a month, you know, for the hell of it, for the fun of it.
And how about video? Have you got a plan for a video for this?
No. All we have on YouTube at the moment are some static images and obviously the music. And we discussed doing this. And again, Dave, Plugger Dave, as I call him, said, you know, for your first single together, it probably isn't necessary or worthwhile. Wait for your second single, because if you're going to do a video, either do it or don't do it. So in other words, spend thousands on it or just have a static image and the music.
Okay. Right. So you mentioned the YouTube. Have you got social media and a website?
No, sorry, we haven't. Again, it's something we must get round to. I mean, we've only just got the name of the band. It was like, you know, what shall we call the band? And eventually Dave and Mo just said, just call it the Mick Jackson Band. So that's what happened. We've kind of done things in reverse.
Okay, but I expect you will end up with social media and maybe a website as well at some point.
I think we're going to have to, yeah.
And Mick, I believe your wife has got a brand new book out as well.
Yeah, yes. In fact, the book is all about the early years when we met and therefore the love affair, because we were together throughout all of that time. And it's called Everlasting Love and Love Affair. So it was about our kind of secret love affair at the time, because our managers had said, you know, we can't have the fans thinking that you're married or engaged or got steady girlfriends or anything. So now all is revealed. So it's about our lives together as teenagers, as we were, when I was an aspiring young musician and through to the success and a behind-the-scenes look at the love affair. So anybody who's interested in that period will probably find the book fascinating, I would think.
And how can people get hold of the book?
The book is, well, they can get it on Amazon, because it's not a self-published book. It's through a proper publisher. And I forget the name of the publisher. It's Font Hill Publishing. So they can get it there, or they can go to any good bookshop, as they say, and ask for it through Font Hill. Or they can just go onto Amazon and look for Patricia Jackson, Our Everlasting Love and Love Affair.
And I expect it'll be on Kindle as well.
Yes, it's you can get it as a proper book. You can get it on Kindle. You can get it as an audio book.
Okay, right. So would you like to introduce your brand new single, Mick?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, this coming up is a track called Sunlight Dreams. It's been hiding in the cupboard since 1969 and was resurrected just a few weeks ago. And as well as myself, it features Mo Bacon, the drummer from Love Affair. We were colleagues together there, and a fantastic guitar player called Dave Johnson. And I hope everybody likes it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.